And I say to even young ladies, how often I see the most beautiful young ladies, they dress incorrectly, they half dress, and they just kind of wear like lures hanging from everything, you know? And they're walking down the street fishing, they're trolling, right? And when you go trolling, you catch trolls.
Welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, a message from a series Pastor Wayne did sometime back entitled Desperate Families. On this message, he'll share some of what housewives go through on a daily basis. It has something to do with beauty, money, and men. Here is Pastor Wayne with part one of a message entitled Desperate Housewives.
Well, let's take out our notes today as we talk about desperate housewives. Well, you know, I was looking at Proverbs 31 that has a wonderful description of a woman of God, and there's so many things you can talk about out of Proverbs 31, but I thought I'd take three portions, three snippets of maybe something that you'd like to hear about. So out of Proverbs 31, we're going to talk about beauty, money, and men. Interested? Yeah, I think so. All right. But before we even get there, I want you to know that in life, you're going to have a choice of two roads. Every single one of you. The choice is between two roads. The road of the world, you can do life that way, or the road that would be the pathway of godliness. You can choose God's way or the world's way. And many choose the world's way. And they fare pretty well. But at the end, it's a dead end. There's an empty soul. The Bible says, what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? The other is, you will have God's way. Now, God's way is not strewn with just nice strawberries and peaches and creams. There's going to be tears and some sorrows. But God will use every tear and turn it into a diamond, every sorrow and turn it into gold. God will use everything for your future foundations. He will not waste one tear. He will not waste one hurt. But you'll have to make that choice, either the world's road or God's road. Now, many people would like to jump between the two, and it won't work. It won't work. You've got to choose. In fact, recently, as you know, there's been a huge civil war in Iraq where two factions, the Sunni and the Shiites, are killing one another. And if they find out that you're a Shiite, now they look the same. It's just like two different religions, really, or denominations. And it's just a religious internal war. And if the Sunnis find you're a Shiite, they kill you. If a Shiite finds you're a Sunni, and they kill you. So they found that people are now carrying two identity cards. One that says, I'm a Shiite, and another says, I'm a Sunni. So it kind of depends who you're talking to. You know, okay, here's my ID. Oh, here's my ID. And what they're finding is they're killing them now because they don't know which side they're on. And so there's people dying all over because they're trying to please or appease both sides. And they don't know who they are. It's a dilution. It is a horrible lack. Or if you talk about identity theft, that's what's happening. And that's what happens in the kingdom of God, where there's an identity theft, where we don't know what road we're going to take. Well, I want to encourage you to take God's road, because if you want God's blessings, you got to do it God's way. So as we talk about desperate housewives, as we speak on the overall in America, there's many desperate families. How can you avoid becoming a desperate housewife? Well, let's start with reading the scripture verse at the top of our notes out of Proverbs 31 that we'll be bringing a lot of advice from today. But let's take a look at this. Let's read it. Go. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I bet, men, you're wondering, where can I find this woman? Sorry, I already married her. Last one. But if you'll listen today, not only will you find out where to find one of these, but you'll also find out, rather, how to become one of these. Some time ago, a man named Leon Fraser saw an Amish woman. And now Amish don't wear any makeup. And they're just very simple, lifestyled people. But there was an extravagant beauty about her. And so for fear of being mistaken as being a bit forward, he started by apologizing, saying, I'm so sorry if this seems forward. I don't really mean to. But he said, you're just so beautiful. What is the secret of your beauty? And the Amish woman, of course, was a little flattered, and she had a little twinkle in her eye. And she said, you really want to know? He said, yes. He said, well, for my eyes, I use compassion. And for my lips, I use truth. For my hands, I use gentleness. For my complexion, I use joy. And for my figure, I use uprightness. Isn't that a great beauty secret? I don't even think Shiseido could bottle that one. That's something about a woman that is a woman of excellence. And it's speaking not necessarily of an outer beauty, but something that we want to start with as we talk about number one, beauty, number two, money and men. Would you write down in number one, the very first step here is to develop your inner beauty. Now, although I'll be speaking to women, I'm also speaking to men. Please apply this to you as well. But develop your inner beauty, because there's an inner beauty and there's an outer beauty. And often we think that, especially in America today, if you get the outer beauty just right, then everything else will be fine. And if that were true, then if you marry just basically on outer beauty, then the celebrities in Hollywood would have the most perfect marriages. But as you know, they go through marriages like someone else goes through underwear. That's just every other day they're throwing one off. And you'll see it all the time, Portuguese once a year. But they're always changing those things. But let's take a look at what it says here about inner beauty. 1 Peter 3, let's read it together. Go. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Would you underline the unfading beauty? Because if it's just an external beauty, that's going to fade. And if you marry based on external beauty alone, listen, it won't be many years down the road where you will be a desperate housewife. Because the veneer fades and the makeup is exchanged for wrinkles. And then what happens if it's hollow on the inside? There's sadness. And you can see people that are beautiful on the outside, but if there's no beauty on the inside, man, that changes right away, doesn't it? Have you ever seen a beautiful, beautiful lady? And I mean, she's just beautiful until like she opens her mouth and then, isn't that right? Yeah, it's the inner beauty that really surpasses the outer. Because she can look beautiful at a distance, but up close, man, no way. He say, what is that inner beauty? It's the spirit with which you live, that gentle and quiet spirit, the Bible says. What it means is a settled spirit, a woman that says, I've chosen to follow God, and I've chosen His roadway, thank you, and I'm settled with that, and I'm assured with that. No, it's not a brash, condescending, kind of ultra-sophisticated spirit or attitude. No, it's not this diva attitude. No. It's a gentle and quiet spirit, which is settled, which is assured, that says, this is the way I've chosen to walk, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to honor God. Thank you. It's just a beautiful spirit on the inside. There's a strength. No, not a weakness. That's a strength. Let's read Proverbs 31:25. Read it with me. Go. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. What is it? Strength and dignity. That kind of spirit is strong and it's dignified. There's a distinction about it. And when you have that kind of settled assurance that you're going to follow God and you're going to do it His way, you can smile at the future. Because I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and I'm fine. There's a beauty in that. And it's a strength, strength and dignity. And it comes, that beauty starts with the inside. Please never, never buy into the world's lure that says if you're beautiful on the outside, everything will be fine. No, we advertise that, but it's the beauty that's on the inside. That's the unfading beauty, an unfading beauty. That's what you want to focus on. You say, well, what's that like on the inside? It's you can find that out by just asking yourself, am I someone that's long-suffering or short-fused? Am I someone that's more willing to dissolve a relationship or resolve a misunderstanding? That's my desire. Which? And am I someone that's ready to argue or someone that's ready to forgive? Three times in the book of Proverbs, it talks about a contentious woman. that those words. In fact, it says in one, it says, it's better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house with a contentious woman. That all that means is someone that's ready to argue. Ready to argue. And it could be applied in the other foot, shoe on the other foot too. It's better to live in the corner of a roof than a house with a contentious man. It's people that are just ready to argue. And you say it's black. No, it's white. It's white. No, it's black. No, it's this. No, it's that. And we're just always playing a one-upsmanship. Always ready to correct each other. You can never then do anything right because there's always a better way to have done it. And that's a contentious spirit. And the Bible talks about a contentious woman three times in the book of Proverbs. And those are, she says, better to live in the corner of a roof. Reminds me of this contentious woman that used to nag her husband a lot. And he just started to wither. And he's only about 51, but he's starting to die. So she takes him to the doctor. And she says, doctor, what's the matter with this husband of mine? And he looks at him and says, you know, under the stress that he's been living, the anxiety and the panic attacks that he has, he's about ready to die. So I need to talk to you, woman. So she takes her husband, he sits in the car, and she comes back out. The doctor said, if you keep this contentious kind of spirit in your house, he's going to die within a year or two. I said, well, what do I do? He said, you got to stop being contentious, agree with him, kiss him, love him, be affectionate to him. I mean, really, really praise him and give him some applause and give him some encouragement and affirmation every day. She walks out and she sits in the car and is thinking. And the husband says, well, what did the doctor say? She said, the doctor said, you're going to die. Contentious woman. Let's read this next scripture, Proverbs 31:30. Go. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It's the fear of the Lord or honoring God. You say, well, Wayne, well, what about the outer beauty then? Do you just throw it away? Oh, no, 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 no. No, but you begin with an inner beauty because it's the inner beauty that radiates. And even if you might have sort of a plain exterior, there's going to be a beauty that radiates from within. That when they look at you, they'll say, man, there's an extravagant beauty. And it's not due to any makeup. It's due to your spirit. And that's that unfading beauty that can go through the years. And you'll see a lady 60, 70, 80 years old. They're beautiful if they have an inner radiance. On the other hand, you can see a woman that's young, 22, 23, 25 years old, and there's no beauty at all, even though there's makeup on the outside. Why? Because the truest, the most unfading beauty is an inner beauty that radiates from within. That's where you begin. That's where you start to build that inner beauty and that assurance, that settled kind of confidence that says, I'm going to walk with Jesus and I'm fine. And you can smile at the future because of that. That's the road that you must choose. You fear the Lord or honor God and do it His way. And you let everybody know that that's your settled conviction, not in a brash, arrogant way, but in a settled way. And there's a beauty that starts to build because of that confidence from within. Well, you say, what about an exterior beauty? What do you do with that? Well, first of all, I want you to know that everything you have, young lady, comes from God. You have received it. You have received it. And men as well, listen, whatever we have, whether it be your gifts, your talents, your skills, your abilities, your contacts, your looks, your height, whatever it might be, everything you have has been a gift from God. Steward it well. They don't belong to you. They don't belong to me. It is God's property, and I steward that. And I say to even young ladies, how often I see the most beautiful young ladies, and they dress incorrectly, and they half dress, and they just kind of wear like lures hanging from everything, you know, just lures everywhere. Just it's like, man, they're walking down the street fishing. They're trolling, man. They're trolling. I look at them and I say, stop. I'll take one of these young ladies to the side, and especially if they're Christians, I'll say, you know, if you were really super ugly, I wouldn't say this to you, but you're not. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. But you know what? You're not stewarding your beauty well. What God has given to you, you're not stewarding it well. No, you're trolling. And when you go trolling, you catch trolls. I have a friend that goes after Ono or Ahi, and he uses a certain kind of lure, you know, certain kind of thing. But I've got another friend that off Ala Moana, he was fishing the other week, and I said, what are you fishing for? He said, oh, anything. I said, anything, yeah, whatever's biting, I catch. So you know what he caught? Rubbish fish. And see, if you're just out there trolling, you're going to catch rubbish fish. Because that's the kind of stuff that's going to be looking for. And there's going to be a fish that's going to bite and you won't be able to get rid of it. It's going to destroy you. Steward your beauty well. I see them dressing real skimpy and I think, you know, for a little bit more money, you could have bought the rest of the outfit. The rest of the pants or the rest of the blouse, you know, because it only comes up to here. Then they hang lures the rest of the way. And I think, you just don't want to be doing that, man. You're fishing. Be real careful because you're going to catch the wrong kind of fish and you won't be able to get rid of it. You don't want to steward your beauty well. Dress modestly. You see, because you got to remember, oh, by the way, write that in there. Steward your beauty well. Forgot to tell you that. I just get caught up in this, you know. But, you know, you got to remember the bottom line is we are ambassadors for Christ. Men, women, we represent Christ. It says this. It says, let your light or your countenance, your who you are, so shine before men so that they'll see your good works and glorify or see your Father in heaven. In other words, we're a doorway, a framework through which people see not us, but who? The Lord who is in us. But sometimes if we just bring all the attention to ourselves, we can become so vain. We can become like it's all about me and people can't see the Lord because it's me stopping, you know, I'm stopping. It's like if you just kind of pour on stuff like, hello, and on to like, whoa. Then the person's saying, whoa, where is this God you're talking about? Oh, no, 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 it's me. Yes. Oh, hello. Yes. They can't see God. It's like the Portuguese lady that was so vain when lightning struck, she ran outside because she thought someone was taking her picture. You know, we just are so vain. But see, we want people to see through us to see God. But if we've got so much packed on us and we got all of this stuff and this looks, well, people can't get by you to see the Lord. And when things go bad, it's because there's no presence of God there. You've blocked it out. The same is true. If you just kind of let yourself go, man, you become this hideous looking troll and your hair is all, and you smell like a sewer and you're just kind of walk, hey, whatever, man, whatever. And then people look at you, it's like, you said you went to church? Oh, boy, he's ugly. Yeah, oh, man, oh, well, yeah, okay, all right. And they can't get by you on the other hand. And so we need to steward who we are in such a way that people, that you're pleasant to look at. Now, you don't have to be this Miss America, but even if it's just normal or just kind of average, if you've got beauty on the inside, you're beautiful. Because there is an eternal, the Bible says, an eternal, unfading radiance that comes from a gentle and quiet spirit. That is the greatest beauty secret that America would love to cover up. Because what happens is they can't sell their beauty secrets if you understand the divine secrets. But I want you to know that there is a beauty secret given to you from above, and that's an inner beauty. Then steward your outer beauty because everything you have, you've received. Let's read what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 4. Go. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Yeah. You say, well, Wayne, what if, you know, you're just regular, should Christians wear makeup? Because you talk about the Amish people, they didn't wear any or whatever. Should Christians wear makeup? Well, it can be controversial, so I won't jump into that one. But I will share with you what a wise old man once said to me. He said, well, just tell those women if the barn needs painting, paint it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, we talked about beauty. Let's move on to money. All right. Money can be one of the most misunderstood points in families today that makes us desperate families and desperate housewives. But let me just say this. Would you write down number two? Serve God and steward money. Serve God and steward money. Don't be afraid of money. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. Now watch this. When money is stewarded well, it can be used by God as an instrument for wonderful things. But if we become enamored with just the accumulation of more money, thinking that that will give us value and identity, and that's what our whole life should be lived for the gaining or the accumulating of more and more and more money, then we applaud those who gained X amount. If that's what our whole life is about, what you do is you turn money into a god called mammon. That's what the Bible calls it. So whenever you see the word mammon in the New Testament, it means that you've loved money so much that you've converted it into a god that dictates your life. In fact, let's read the scripture and see what it says. Go. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And when you start serving money, that turns into mammon. Now watch this. There are a lot of Christians that go to church, but we really serve mammon. I did. Until I began to understand. I thought, whoa, what am I doing? It is such a subtle thing that you can be a Christian your whole life, but really, really serve mammon in two different ways. Let me give you the negative side. I remember being at a retirement party, and they had taken up this huge offering for the one that was retiring. It was a pastor, and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars came in. And when they presented this amount to him, everyone clapped, and I was thinking, whoa, that's plenty of money I get. And I was just almost jealous. And you know what? The Lord spoke so quickly to me. He said, that's greed. What you're thinking of is greed. It is just showing your greed that that person has more than you and you don't like it. And you have been caught up in the god of mammon. The other side, where because I didn't catch it right then, later on, I was serving God and doing everything, but there was something funny going on in my life. I had a difficult time to tithe. Anytime they talked about money, oh, I get mad. Oh, what is this church saying? What are they doing? And it was like, whoa. You know, it's sort of like a doctor when he touches, you know, he's trying to find out where the pain is. Does this hurt? No. What about here? No. Right over here. Oh, yeah, it hurts a little bit. So they, okay, you know, and they check it out. And it's like God is pushing. Oh, is this? No. Does this hurt over here? No. And they push it right here. Does it hurt? Oh, we don't touch that over here. You know, it's sort of like whenever God gets close to anything about money, ooh, my ire just rises and I get upset. God was showing me how I was serving mammon. And here's how I found out. And we all do this. How often I will catch myself saying things like this. Well, if I had the money, I'd live in a house like that. Well, if I had the money, I would buy that boat. Well, if I had the money, I would send my kids here. If I had the money, I'd give more. If I had money, I would do like more ministry. And the Lord stopped me after I was hearing myself say this. And the Lord said, stop. What do you mean? If you had the money, you would live here. If you had the money, would you live there? Oh, yeah, I'd live there. What if I said, don't do that. Don't live there. Would you live there? Well, if I had the money, I would. Oh, so what dictates where you live is no longer my word, but it's whether mammon says to do it. See, what happens is after a while we say, well, if I had the money, I would do this. Instead of saying, Lord, would you want me there? Well, I'll work there because they give more money. Oh, stop. Say, wait a minute. What if God doesn't want you to work there? He'll provide what you need. Yeah, but they just pay more. Okay, so mammon is going to dictate where you work, where you live, what state you're going to live, how you're going to raise your family, if you're going to raise your family at all, how much time you're going to spend with your kid, even though you say you're a Christian. Do you understand how mammon is dictating, fashioning your future, your family, your geography, the place you live, your lifestyle, your personality, what you pursue, what you don't pursue, your career, your vocation? Everything about you is dictated by mammon. Everything. It is much more important for us to say, Lord, where do you want me to live? Lord, do you want me to give? Lord, where do you want my kids to go to school? Not just to keep up with the Joneses. Where do you want our kids to go to school? And it takes us as parents the time to get on our knees and say, Lord, where do you really want us to put our kids? Where do you want us to live? How do you want us to live? And fathers, you as the head of the home are very important in this process to make sure that we are not Christians simply by name, but Mammonites by lifestyle.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Desperate Housewives by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.